The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We're already late. We're over 24 hours late on the second podcast posting of the year. Confidence. Welcome to Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything, including scheduling. I have good reasoning. There's a whole reason why this episode's all about it. You're probably looking at the title like WTF. But it will all come to fruition. Also, don't be alarmed. The setting of this podcast does look different because we are in transition of moving. Well, we're not in transition of moving. Our roommate is in transition of moving, who I've lived with for like 5 years. And so we're redoing our living room. So that's why the setup looks different. And also, here comes Leo, the kitty cat. Hi.
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 What's up?
Jared's here.
Hi, guys.
Cap slap. Dab-a-da-da-bap-bap. You're here for this week's
guest.
That's
me. Yeah.
I want to ask you, how do you feel about New Year?
You know, it is an absolute shit show right now.
Yeah, it's pretty bad out there.
The world is crazy, but I'm spending a lot of time on me. I'm doing a lot of personal development and self kind of getting into good habits for the next year. Jeez. So that looks good.
That looks good.
Yeah.
You look good.
Thank you.
Compared to the outside world kind of being a clusterfuck. And confidants, I hope you are taking care of yourselves. Like, that's super important when everything's kind of going awry.
Yep.
Like they always say on the airplane, you got to put your own mask on before you put on someone else's.
There it is.
And I think that's really important to know in situations like this. But hey, for the next hour / 45 minutes, let's just... Let's disappear a little bit together into the podcast world, shall we? Even though we're more than 24 hours late. That's on me. That's on me. And yeah, you probably see the title. We almost broke up. We're going to be talking about that firstly, though. We will be talking about, really quickly, my book.
Woo!
You guys know I haven't stopped talking about this for the last, 6 months. It is out. You know that it's out. I talked about it last week. But... I'm not going to sit here and be like, buy it, because you get that from like every other avenue of my life. But what I do want to tell the confidant, I want to tell the confidants that they are going to be the first to know what merch is coming out.
Oh, damn.
This week with the book.
Wow.
So you guys hear it first. Save your pennies because you're going to want this little bundle of stuff. So first thing that we got coming out this week is the necklace that I am wearing here.
Woo!
It is a gold chain with a gold pendant that says sensitive.
Aww.
I really love it. It's good quality.
It actually is really nice.
Yeah, it's really nice quality. Next, we have sweatshirts coming out in 3 colors.
Woo!
Baby pink, white, and black. And they say, I'm sensitive on the front, and a really cool design on the back from the book. Next, we have a candle that says...
It smells incredible.
Calm Bitch, and it is a lavender vanilla scent. It's amazing.
Yep.
Next, on top of that, we've got, what else do we have? We have the sweatshirts, the necklace, the candle.
Didn't you ever write this down somewhere?
I should have written this down. I was so confident that I knew what it was.
The...
What else is there?
Are there t-shirts?
Oh, t-shirts?
There you go.
Thank you. We got crops and regulars because we know how we love those crops that say don't fucking panic on them, which I think are so cute. It's got like the little pocket design like I love with the Confidently Insecure and Anxiety Queen pockets. Really soft material. We're working with the same Bella Canvas company that makes those really soft.
So soft.
So soft. God, I feel like I'm missing an important good one.
I bet you can in post... Add it in. Hey guys, I forgot it's this. Right?
Just know that there's some cute shit coming. I wanted to do notebooks that you would like get with the book that you could write in so that you don't have to write in the book, because a lot of people are like, oh, I want to reuse it or reread it. I don't want to like fill it up. But here's the thing. My production people were like, we'd have for them to be good quality, they'd have to be like $15. And I'm like, okay, that's like a Moleskine notebook, right? And they're like, oh, no, that's just like a regular good notebook. And I was like, $15 for not a Moleskine? I don't know if I'd pay that. So I guess I want to leave it up to you, audience. You tell me, would you pay $15 for not a Moleskine, don't fucking panic, cute logoed, like block colored notebook? I don't know. Would you, Jared?
I mean,
honestly,
why not? Yeah.
You would pay $15 for a notebook that's not Moleskine?
If it goes with the don't fucking panic, then I'm in.
All right. Well, audience, you tell me if you want a notebook or not, or if you're like happy with the candle necklace stuff. Okay. Before we talk about us almost breaking up, I have to tell the confidants why this episode's late. Because, as the title also states, New Year, same pussy, baby.
Woo!
How do you feel about all of my pussy emergencies?
I feel bad for you. It's unfortunate. It for me, it's like, yeah, it's a bummer. But you know, it's not like I'm feeling the issues. So I'm definitely thankful for that, but also feeling bad for you.
Did you think that you were going to have your gynecology degree by dating me?
It was not on my radar, but I'm fully versed now. So
yeah, in the ways of the Punan?
Yes, I can. I know my way around a cervix for sure.
That's for sure. That's not a joke. That's not like, oh, he really dicks his down. It's like, no, his like eyes and hands know how to give me like a full gynecological exam at this point. So let's like, before I tell them about my pussy emergency yesterday, we can review. Last year I got a boric acid pill stuck in my urethra. We had to go to the emergency room. That was fun. I had yeast infections that made me so sick. I like couldn't fucking walk without pain. I had my LEAP procedure to cut off stage 3 carcinoma in situs off my cervix. What else? HPV diagnosis. That was like 2019. Well, we have more issues. I had fibroids on my fallopians or something. My F's on my F's. I got F's on F's. I want to give you a yeast update, though. I want to give you a little intro to how this started.
Yeast update.
So for like 6 months, I had not had yeast infection after talking about it on this podcast and like getting to, oh, that's what the bacteria was that we got tested for. And like we had that, like a fan named Kelsey had written in saying like, hey, I get chronic yeast infections too. I talked about this, you guys. You could like scroll back. But she said like, make sure your gyno's testing you for this bacteria. And usually everyone has it. But if you have chronic yeast infections and you have this bacteria, it can tend to be the thing that's like exacerbating it. So we both had to take meds for that. So after we like cleared that out of our system, I still got another yeast infection. I was like, motherfuck. So finally I went to the gut health side of like TikTok and Reddit and found out that it's probably because I eat so much fucking sugar. So for the last 6 months, I've really cut back on the sugar, except for the last like 2 to 3 weeks when we were in our jammy trip and it was the holidays. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, you did really well up until the jammy, end of jammy trip.
Yeah, end of jammy trip. It was really like New York being in the holiday season.
Yeah, it was holidays.
And I also got new ear piercings for migraines. So those were infected. One was infected because I kept touching it with my mask. And so I got put on antibiotics. And I think that with the combo of taking antibiotics gave me a little flare of yeast that I was like, oh shit. And on top of that, you know, we have been going through maybe one of the toughest times in our relationship, and with really tough times comes really great makeup sex. And with really great makeup sex comes the you know, cuddling after coitus, not peeing right away, that whole thing. I don't have a UTI, but you know, we weren't not fucking a little bit for some time. It is what it is. Yeah. So back when I was getting chronic yeast infections, I had bought, and I do not advise this, I had bought off Amazon a bulk package of clear speculums, which are the usually metal thing that a gyno inserts into your puss to crank it open. And I had bought them because I wanted to recognize the signs of a yeast infection so that every time I got one, I wasn't going in the gyno, spending $40 copay, wasting an hour and a half of my time, paying for parking, all that shit. I could just crank it open, see it, and be like, I know what this is. Bloop, blop, boric acid, bloop, blop, fluoxetine, bloop, bloop, bloop. Fix it. Well. I was laying in bed with you the other night. We were watching Legion, which, great show, if you haven't watched it.
Yeah.
Very confusing, but great show. And I got my speckies out. I got my little specky out. Cranked that bitch open. And you were laying next to me, and I'm using a mirror and two iPhone lights to, like, refract mirror light into my punan, the deep, dark hole that it is, because apparently I have a long vagina. I was like, okay, I see a little bit of yeast. I guess this is a yeast infection. Yep, confirmed what I thought. But then I saw my cervix looking back at me, and it was like,
it did not look very happy.
Yeah, it was like angry looking.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there kind of looking at it, and I'm like, Jared, can you look at this? Does this look normal to you? And if you don't know what your cervix looks like, or like what a cervix normally looks like, pause this right now and open up a tab and just Google like what a healthy cervix looks like, because I feel like we should know that. We should know that. Did you know what a cervix looked like?
I mean, like, I could guess, but I knew it definitely wasn't what I saw. That did not look healthy.
My cervix had like that like glasses with the big nose and mustache on it. Like, yeah. I'm not really a cervix. I'm somebody else.
It was certainly it's surprising.
Yeah, I also think people think of a cervix as like the kind of triangle-ish cone in your vagina. Like, a lot of people don't even know your vagina is actually like the walls on the inside of your body. A lot of people just refer to the vagina as the outside. God, we talk about vaginas so much on this podcast. Sorry, not sorry. But the cervix is kind of like this pink squishy donut with a tiny hole in the middle. And we also got to really learn about the female the reproductive system of vagina owners when we were at Lacey's house, and Lacey went to go get her ultrasound, and we both were like, how do we know if it's a boy or a girl? Or like, how does it happen if it's a boy or a girl? And you and I both kind of looked at each other and we're like, wait, we don't know. We know that like the egg chooses the sperm, but we didn't really know what else that entailed. And so we both ended up going down a YouTube rabbit hole of watching like a lot of reproductive videos.
I saw this really cool like three-dimensional video that was like 6 minutes long, like of the journey of the sperm, like, and it's like going through this whole like battle through like the forces of,
by J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, basically.
It was good.
It was incredible. It was
like
really well produced.
That in school, you know what I mean?
100%. I would learn a lot more if I was watching videos like that all the time. It's incredible. Yeah.
So point is, we were really like balls deep in knowing that my cervix did not look like it should. And there was like a lump on it that looked like an angry, I don't know, boil.
Yeah.
It looked just angry and like a big lump. And it wasn't really a color, but it was just big and like, I mean, it was big. It was like 10 millimeters, I think it ended up being, or something.
Wow.
And I'm like, Jared, does this look normal to you? And as my gynecologist boyfriend does, he poked his head in there and, well, go on. What'd you see?
Yeah, it just didn't look good. I knew from the immediate sight that like something wasn't, like, it wasn't like you look at it and you're like, oh, that's healthy. It's like, no, it's not healthy. I don't know what it is, but I got like freaked out for sure.
And I think people probably want to know how we got to the point of being so comfortable with each other. Because I know couples, like, even in my Cooter Club group chat, the girls were like, wow, props to Jared. Like, you really found a winner because you have been up in there in a non-sexual way so many times. Like, I don't know. What is your take on that?
Yeah, I think it's just part of the duty sometimes, you know? You, like, you, as a good partner, you want to be there for the other person to, like, support them in whatever they're going through. And just so happens that the things that you go through happen to be very...
Internal,
yeah. A lot of reproductive-ish vibes going on. Yeah. So I've just been kind of well-versed in that. Leo keeps jumping up on that.
Watch out, buddy. I'm nervous he's going to knock over the
stand.
But yeah, I think there's a fear that a lot of non-vagina owners have about, like, the intimate health care of a vagina. Like, I don't think a lot of people know, like, how to label the parts, that, like, this does this, X and Y, Z. And to be honest, like, I think I still don't know, and I wouldn't know unless I've had all these problems personally. Do you feel like this is a good thing that you're so close to me that you can look inside of the deepest hole in my body?
Absolutely. I don't see that as a negative.
What advice would you give to, like, any confidant listeners who maybe their partner has never gone that deep south?
I mean, I can give advice to the partners themselves.
Okay.
Like, grow up, like, I don't know, like, you're an adult and Damn. You're dealing with adult things, and some of those adult things are, like, health concerns, and yes. you need to kind of, like, step up a little bit and, like, Oof. Don't be like, or like, I don't know.
Yes, I think a lot of, like, I'm just gonna say it, men are kind of like, I don't know, there's so many flaps and skins and like, what, like, grow up is the best thing I've ever heard. Like, if I have to deal with it, bitch, so do you. Especially 3 years into a relationship now. Also, happy anniversary, by the way.
Almost.
Three years. Wow. Yep. So I, of course, did the thing you're not supposed to do and got on Google and was like, what does this comp look like picture-wise? And it was either, like, you have a cyst or, like, back to stage 3 carcinoma, your pussy's being eaten by cervical cancer. Now, I had had a pap done in October of last year, so I knew, you know, it would be aggressive if things had taken over so quickly. So I emailed my gyno on, like, a Sunday night, it was Saturday night or something. And that's my other advice, is, like, if you don't have a gyno that you feel comfortable with reaching out to at any time, like, you should find a gyno that you do feel comfortable reaching out to. I know that, like, a lot of people are still, that listen to this podcast, are still even, like, getting comfortable with going to exams and, like, talking about vaginal health. But to me, it's like, my gyno is my friend. And even though she's, like, way smarter than me and, like, you know, probably, you know, doesn't love how much I have to see her, I feel like I can say anything to her. And so, you know, I messaged her, told her the situation, and she was like, oh, Dara, like, you're always an adventurer, and, like, don't speculum yourself to the point of, like, freaking out, because you don't know how to diagnose yourself like that. Like, you're checking for yeast. Okay. So she gets me in first thing, which is why the podcast was late, because I had to go, she had one appointment open that I had to go rush to, and cranks me open, and she's like, oh yeah, that's definitely a cyst. And I was like, oh, okay. Big relief. Most vagina owners actually will get cysts on their cervix and never even know it, because it will take care of itself. And they're not painful, as opposed to, like, if you get cysts on other organs in the vagina. So that's good to know. Any vagina owners probably have had cysts and they just, like, take care of themselves. But this one was big. And she said because it was a infection too happening, that, like, the cervix, the reason why it looked so angry and, like, red and different colored was because it was reacting also to the infections. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, she definitely swabbed anyway. She was like, I agree. Like, you had your pap recently, there's no reason why we should be, like, freaked out. I'm going to swab anyways. Like, I'll call you in 3 days, which, like, obviously I'm still a little bit nervous about, but I feel better with her, like, explanation and reaction. but I'm glad I went because she said not only did she think I had a yeast infection, but she also thought I had BV, which is bacterial vaginosis, which I've had before. And it's one of those things that's just like, well, if I was treating it as a yeast infection and it was BV and I wasn't able to clear it all out, I would have continued to have problems and like who knows what it could have cycled into, blah, 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 blah. All of this to say, like, even me, you know, the person who is all about vaginal health still doesn't know everything and needs to have regular gyno checkups. And so I say all of this to say, like, not only am I sorry that the podcast was late, but you guys have got to go get your pussies checked out. Like, you've got to go get your annuals, schedule them now, top of year. You know, like, your insurance just renewed. So, like, prepare for that. And, like, maybe make this a time to, like, new year, new gyno. If you don't love your gyno, get recs from your girlfriends. Go online. Like, ask social media. But I think that this can, like, kind of transition into our next topic. But quickly, I will throw it to our ads real quick. Jared, can I tell you about Care Of?
Sure.
Care Of is a wellness brand that makes it easy to maintain your health goals with customized vitamin plans that help you feel your best and support you long term. You know I love me some freaking vitamins. I already take enough pills every day, and this is just like an extra little bloop on my day. All of Care Of's products are formulated with good for you clean ingredients that are backed by science, honey. Okay, Joe Biden, we believe in science in this house, right?
Woohoo!
Care Of's in-depth 5-minute online quiz asks you questions about your diet, lifestyle, and health concerns to help you address your specific wellness goals. Okay, so this is like a customized vitamin plan for you, and make taking better care of your health a New Year's resolution. Okay, we love that, and make it super easy with Care Of. And here's the thing, I'm not someone who's all into like the New Year's resolution stuff. I have like thoughts about it, but I do think bettering your mind is a very important piece of like feeling that wave of new year, new you. And I think Care Of vitamins like fits right into that category of like, if you need to take care of your gut health, that is your second brain, baby. You mm-hmm. got to do it. And I want you guys to get 50% off your first order. Okay. So for 50% off of your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code confident50. That is 50% off your first Care Of order. You go to takecareof.com and enter code confident50. Jared, is anything interfering with your happiness?
Yes.
Is something preventing you from achieving your goals?
You know, I wish I knew.
Well, don't worry, because I can offer you my favorite ever plug that happens in every podcast, because it's my favorite brand ever to work with BetterHelp, because they are going to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist.
Wow.
We do couples therapy through BetterHelp.
We do.
And we connect in a safe and private online environment, because that is so convenient. And you guys, Confidants, can start communicating with the therapist in under 24 hours, no waiting, no dealing with the insurance, all that bullshit. And it's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. Okay. We believe that therapy should be accessible to everyone, and BetterHelp is on their way, and they have licensed professional counselors who deal with, are you ready for this?
Yep.
Depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family conflicts, LGBT matters, grief, and self-esteem. There is not an issue I have taken there that they can't help me with. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. And I want you, Confidants, to start living a better, happier life today. And as a listener, you're going to get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/CI. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. 1 million!
That's a lot of people.
I know. Again, that's betterhelp.com/CI. The weather is getting warmer, so it is time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now that I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from 30 doll hairs, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
I can confirm this. I'm actually wearing Quince pants right now.
You are.
They are so, they're loose, they're breezy. These babies have a button, a fly, drawstring, and elastic in the band. So I can like, I can dress them up, I can dress them down.
Yes.
They're the perfect pant for summer, and I'm really comfortable as hell in them.
Honestly, I am wearing the Quince 14 karat gold earring loop right now.
Oh my God.
I know. I think it's so cute. It does not tarnish. It is so comfy, and I have sensitive ears, so I'm really loving this for my body. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Kelsey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Kelsey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Kelsey.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Wow.
So back to our beautiful transition. You already know what I was going to say, right? Transitioning from like pussy into like us being going through like a very, very tough time.
Yeah. Well, I want to frame it too of like where my head's at now versus where I was on that trip too. Especially after that kind of the vagina scare, if you will.
Mm. This is new for me. I haven't heard this before.
I think I told you in the car a little bit. But I very much like, I had a lot of visualizations of like the worst case scenario with Kelsey. And like that kind of, it really brought out a lot of the deeper connection that I have with her in that like, the surface level things that like I think matter a lot don't really matter that much, and like that there's such a huge like connection that we have that I would be really, really bummed if it got cut short. And that was like really kind of a scary moment, but a eye-opening one and a good one to kind of process and think about. So that's where my head's at now.
Right. And versus like...
versus where we were at.
And me too, honestly. Yeah. Like, and, you know, when I went to the gyno, I could only go in because of COVID, and everything in LA is like very bad right now. So Jared stayed in the car, and like, that's what he's talking about is I think you had like 45 minutes kind of to yourself to kind of digest what news was going to come out of this.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we already had like a scare that got resolved, and it just felt so easy. Like, it was just like, oh, she just cut it out and I was fine. And then like to think like this might be something I'm dealing with for a long time and like constantly going to have to worry in the back of my mind, like, oh my God, like how bad does it get? And your mom passed from like
cancer, fourth stage breast cancer. Yeah.
Reproductive health cancer. And so I think there's like a, you know, fear obviously of it.
Big time.
Repeating itself in your life and like taking another like woman figure in your life.
Yeah.
And that like sucks.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
Yeah. But it also gives me perspective and it gives me, it helps me realize, sounds corny, but like it helps me like really appreciate you as much as I can now because I know you're here and like I can touch you.
Yeah.
And you're here.
I am.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm glad you said that because like I wanted to start out by saying like we've been going through a tough time like everybody in the circumstances of the world. Like it is not a normal time and like I don't know if we would really be going through it like this. And I mean going through it in that, I don't know, our relationship has ebbed and flowed and we're coming up on 3 years this week and we both have changed fundamentally like in our bones as people since we met. Like, if anyone goes back and listens to adult shit when I was at BuzzFeed, like, you can literally track the successes and pitfalls of our relationship publicly, which I kind of think is really cool. Like, I love, like, I love that we'll have that forever, yeah, you know, like, true, a time capsule. And who we were 3 years ago is, like, how do I say this? Like, 180, 180, 180, like, a different circle.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I can kind of speak to my faults of, like, I think I've, since getting sober, which has been the best thing I could have ever done for myself, and I think if I hadn't, our relationship would have not really been where it is, maybe at all, if at all was a relationship. But I gained this extra space and brain capacity to be more of a anxious and controlling person. And it has nothing to do with, like, controlling of, like, I think the, like, a stereotypical girlfriend that's like, where are you? Who have you been with? Like, you're not allowed to go out. It's other stuff. Like, I don't even know. Like, can you make sure this is clean? Can you do this? Like, can you uphold this piece of the relationship that I have decided is now vital and priority because I've decided on my half of my life that it's vital and priority. And, like, I also, you know, have still been working on the idea of admitting that I'm wrong and not feeling like an intense, deep shame. Like, even when it's the stupidest argument, like, it's not even an argument. It's you being like, oh, did you know, like, turtles have three eyes? And I'd be like, turtles don't have three eyes. And you're like, yeah, turtles have three eyes. And you would show me, like, are the, all these articles. I still couldn't ever be like, you're right. Like, turtles do have three eyes and I was wrong. I would, like, rather make it into a joke and be like, well, that's stupid. Like, they shouldn't have three eyes or whatever. Like, I just have this very intense fear of being wrong. And I think it comes from, like, the people I were raised by, like, being that way. And I have a hard time apologizing. And I'll never forget, like, the first time in our relationship very early on that you, you know, we weren't that close yet, but you had pointed out something that I did that was wrong. And I was like, my stomach, like, lit on fire. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? Are you fucking kidding me? He's pointing this out. Like, what a dumb, and I got, like, really defensive. And then, like, I had probably, like, a glass of wine and I was like, you know what? He's right. But why am I having such a hard time, like, allowing that to be right? Is it the patriarchy? Is it my upbringing? Is it just, like, my ego, right? Like, I'm a Leo. Hello, I have the biggest ego in the world. But I never could ever say I'm sorry and I'm wrong, or, like, it's not my thing to care and worry about. And we started couples therapy last year, and I think that's really helped. I fucking love our couples therapist. Definitely. She's amazing. And yeah, like, I would always think of it as, like, Jared has changed a lot too. A lot. You've transitioned out of, like, DJ fuckboy life, and you're in a much more, what's the word? I'm like, altruistic, venture that you're doing with, like, AI and, you know, kind of saving the world. And, I would feel very, like, insecure and not intelligent enough. Like, I was putting that on myself. It wasn't something that Jared was being like, wow, you're dumb and you don't know about coding and ones and zeros. Like, no, it was me being like, I couldn't relate or identify to all of his new hobbies. Therefore, I felt, like, inferior. And instead, I would, like, border this teeter, like, seesaw of, like, some days I'd feel really insecure. And then other days I would just be like, we're just so incompatible now. Like, we both just have completely different hobbies. I've gotten sober. I've really focused on, like, this journey in my life. You know, don't nearly drink as much. We're in COVID. You have new priorities and new hobbies. And, like, I just worried that we were growing apart. Like, we were both growing, but it felt like we were growing apart too. And it was tough. Like, it was not easy. We were having, like, the same arguments over and over for, like, 6 months. And I made a TikTok over the break, and I was saying something that like our couples therapist told us, and it actually like went viral. I think it's at like a million views now, but I said something that like I really changed the way that I think and argue or whatever. Cause I'm very black and white. Like when we would get into argument, and you've known this from the day we met, and I told you this, I was like, I'm an in or out person. And so like the second I see a crack, I'm like, I'm out. This isn't going to work. I black and white it. I spiral down. I'm very like, I've been burned before and I will never let myself fucking be burned again. Cause if I do, I'm a dumb bitch who allowed herself to fall down the same fucking trap. And it's very mean and it's very like self-sabotaging, but I'm growing and learning to not like be, you know, I'm learning to live in the gray. And so the TikTok that I made was like something that our couples therapist told us is that not all, and in fact, most arguments or fights between you and your partner will not be solved. And they don't need to be. And there's not going to be usually someone that walks away feeling right and one person feeling wrong and someone has to apologize and everyone goes to bed happy. Most arguments don't even need a resolution. Like you can end up in that like agree to disagree place and still want to like fuck each other is by making sure you actually hear the other person and making sure that they know that you hurt them. Yeah. So it's like validating you, hearing what you said, and allowing myself also time to implement that into like my psyche. So like for us, I think another big thing that our therapist suggested was like, you need to be able to take breaks in between arguments, because I was raised by parents who fucking forced in me to never go to bed angry. And that's because my father lost his father when they were in a fight, and then his dad passed away and he never got to like fix that, you know, sorry. And so I, every night, like when we do our prayers or whatever, it's like, you never go to bed angry. You always resolve your fights. And so for me, it was like that scene out of Trainwreck with Amy Schumer where she like makes her, what's his nuts, stay up all night. He's like an orthopedic surgeon, and she makes him stay up all night, even though he has this huge surgery on this like athlete the next day. She's like, no, we will stay here and figure this out. That's me. And I mean, you can speak for yourself the way you fight, but it was like me pulling teeth out of a skull that had no teeth. Like just being like, feel something, tell me something, like we need to figure this out. And so for me, the biggest thing that I've learned is like, you know, fights don't need to be resolved, and that it's okay to take a breath and like take a break and like learn to live in that gray area of discomfort. And I think why it was so uncomfortable for me was, I wrote this down too, is there's like waffle and pancake people, and unfortunately, stereotypically, and it's not meant to be sexist, women tend to be pancakes and men tend to be waffles, where imagine your problems as syrup, and like when you pour it on a pancake, it runs all over the pancake and it's like soaked in and absorbed, and it won't go away until you cut that piece away, until you deal with it. Whereas like traditionally, men are able to soak in a problem and keep it in a compartment and like kind of go to it when they need to access it. And that's why, unfortunately, like men tend to be better in like business and blah, 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 because they don't let their problems like take over their whole day. Whereas me, if like we were in a bad place, I could not, like everything was in a bad place. So those are the bigger things that I've learned, is like, be a waffle, take breaks. Not every fight means it's the end of the relationship, and not all fights need to be solved.
I just want to say that was incredible, Kelsey. That was really awesome sharing that. A lot of stuff I like hadn't really heard you say.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was like really nice to hear a lot of the stuff, especially the self-reflective things about like noticing your patterns and like how these things come out. So I wanted to just thank you for that and like acknowledge that it means a lot. It means a lot to hear that. And I think for me, my biggest, I guess my biggest dynamic in a fight is that I shut down. I fully
freeze.
Yeah. My whole system goes down because there's not logically something I can say to fix the situation, even though it is framed like that. So it's like Kelsey's expecting something from me, and I'm like, No, that's if I say that, it's going to make it worse. If I say that, it's going to make it worse. It's like I almost sometimes feel like a firefighter in like a house that's burning. But instead of having a hose, I have a big thing of gasoline. And I'm like, and she's like, why don't you just pour it on the fire? And it's like, oh, I don't want to do that. Yeah. I know it's going to go badly. And I did that once when in Philly, we were in the hotel.
This fucking city is one of my favorite cities in the world. But for some reason for us, it's cursed. Every time we've been to Philly, something very bad has happened.
Yeah.
And we were staying in the same hotel and we got into an argument and it got so bad. I packed my stuff and like, we're in the middle of this road trip. We have plans to be like in New York the next day. And I like packed my shit and was ready to go and be like, I'll mail all of your stuff back to you in LA. I'm going to keep jammy and like keep going on this road trip. And like, we're just incompatible. And I think what scared me about that fight was like, that was the first time we both felt that way. I think we were used to me kind of always being that black or white girl that's like too afraid of her own self, honestly, to like be in a tough place.
Mm-hmm.
That it, what scared me was that like you also were like, okay, yeah, this is bad. Like maybe this isn't the best for both of us. And there was a moment where you were like, what do you want me to yell? And I've never heard Jared yell before, ever. And it like literally scared me. Not like, oh my God, I'm afraid of him. It like shocked me because I'd never heard him yell before. And I panicked and I just like grabbed my coat and I left. And I walked around downtown Philly while it was like freezing cold and snowing in like my pajamas and snow coat and like went to the Christmas market. I swear to God, it was like a scene out of like a dramatic HBO series where I'm like, I have my Heineken 0.0 in a glass bottle walking down the street because I just like grabbed it off the counter. And I'm sitting in this like Adirondack chair in the middle of this Christmas like market at night in Philly. All the lights are gleaming. People are happy. It's like lightly snowing. And I'm just like sitting there freezing and I'm looking at Independence Hall and I'm like, okay, am I going to, is this the hit? Like, is this really it? And so I sat there and I had my iPad with me because I just like grabbed shit and walked away. And I made like a pros and cons list on my iPad. And here's the funny part. The pros were a lot less than the cons of breaking up. I had a lot of shit to say, but that was my side. Like, maybe we can go back to your side.
Yeah. So I think looking back on it from like a clear head, it was a, like, it made sense why I was like not fighting so hard, because when she came back from like, because that yelling thing was like, okay, like, she's like, she wants me to show emotion. This is the emotion that I'm feeling right now is raw, like frustration and anger. So I'm going to show that, like, I'm going to yell, like, here you go. Do you want that? Is this helping? And it's like, did not go well. It's like, okay, bad. So then like she comes back and she's like, well, here are some things that I don't like about you. Blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, fuck. And
I
like
made this long list. I was like, here's my pros and cons list.
Very, very brutal.
It was very cons.
Yeah, we still gotta kind of sort through that, I think, eventually. Yeah. But it was one of those things where it was just this whirlwind of like, oh.
Like, here's all the bad.
And then there was no good to balance it out. And like our therapist always says, like, if you're gonna introduce a bad thing, like you put five good things in there so that it like balances.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just all bad. And it was just like,
we didn't take any real break from each other. Like, me going down to the Christmas market was like me still simmering in the fight, and you staying in the hotel was like you still sitting in that position.
Yeah.
Like, we did not have any actual space.
Yeah, we and this is also like the culmination of multiple months of small living together in an RV and like just you know, not having our support systems like that we have in LA, the friends, the balancing, and so
finances have been tough.
Finances are brutal, so it's a lot of stuff.
At the top of my cons, or like my pros to staying together, whatever, I might be mixing it up, was like, if we break up, I won't have the Tesla anymore. Like, I would have to pay out my half, and like, God, that's like, I just can't afford that right now. And that was genuinely a piece of the puzzle. And I like called my mom and I was like, Mom, I'm literally feeling like I'm staying with a guy a piece of this, whether it be like a 5% piece or whatever, because of finance. She was like, Kelsey, that's like the real world. That's very real. Like, a lot of women stay in abusive relationships for that specific reason, because they don't have their own money, or like the man controls it or whatever. And my mom always taught me to have my own shit and have my own bank accounts and all that, which I do. Like, I easily could have paid you out and I would have figured it out. But the fact that that was even like a piece of this made me realize also like how deep in this we are together.
Yeah.
And it's not like any other relationship I've had. This is like, you know, the biggest and most valuable and intense. So it was like kind of also a bit shocking to me also to realize like, oh, wow. Imagine if we had like kids or assets, like a big asset, like the house or whatever together. Leo's attached. But yeah, it was a very scary night.
Yeah. And I think like for me, the only reason that I wasn't like trying to be the like, let's sleep on this and like not make, I mean, I actually ended up doing that at the end. Because I was like, that it finally kicked in like, wait a minute. No, like all this is not adding up. But like, I was at the moment when you were reading it off to me, I was like, all of this, like, these are valid points. Like, if you're like unhappy, I don't want to keep you in an unhappy thing. And like, I saw your mood in that moment as like your mood all the time or something like that, of like, you are upset and you're upset with me all the time. And I can't help that. And it's like, well, I want the best for you in your life. So like, so if logical. That means me not being in your life, then I guess that means that, right? Like, it was like, it was just a very kind of disjointed situation. And then at the very end, it was like, it was just like a scene out of a movie where like you had your bags packed, you're ready to go, and like you're just standing there. And then I just like hugged you, and I was just like,
you were like giving me your goodbye speech. Yeah. Like, thank you for everything. And I was like, are you seriously fucking like gonna sit here and like name everything you're thankful for me for? And I was like, is this what you really want? And you were like, is this what you really want? And I was like, no. And I think me saying that made you say like, okay, well then if you don't think so, let's sleep on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Because I was like, I heard one thing and then I heard another thing completely separate of like, oh, like from the list, it was very clear to me that you did not want to be with me. But then you were adamant that you did not want to break up. So I was like, we need to sleep on this.
Yeah. Well, that's like what that's like what a tough fucking time is.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, the information presenting itself does not align with my emotions, but it is having such an effect on my mood and emotions. So, you know, when we woke up the next morning, things did not just like go back to normal, guys. We had like a very rough 3 weeks, and like shout out to Pete and Lacey for like being as normal as possible as we would like have these really intense moments. And like, you know, we got into it again over New Year's Eve, and you know, we ended up being in separate rooms, and Jared fell asleep at 9:30 and I fell asleep at like 10, and no New Year's kiss or countdown. And then I had like resentment about that, like, but why do I care? I don't care. It's just another fucking day. But like the fact that we even just are going to bed mad at each other is like playing into my deepest fears that I was raised to believe like we shouldn't do. But it's like the result of the like 6 months of trouble times plus this like intense, you know, 3 or 4 weeks of just constant not knowing, was necessary. I think it had to get that bad before it could get any better, in that, you know, I don't think every couple needs to hit rock bottom. And like, I'm literally going against everything I've preached about relationships, where it's like, if you're unhappy, like get happy, like remove the parasite or whatever. Like, you know, I've said on adult shit a bunch of times, if you don't know when to break up with someone, my advice to you is you break up with them the first when you start thinking about breaking up with them, because there's like a reason why. And you know, like I saw this TikTok where it's like your vagina can literally detect like bad dick, and it will like give you a UTI or yeast infection. And it's like basically like we've had nothing but those problems. And I was like, oh my God, has my body been rejecting him this whole time? And I wasn't listening to my own body and yada, yada. Like all of these fucking things that I have believed is like me going against it. So, you know, we're in a good place now, I would say. And I think like we've both had to recognize our own faults. And that was like kind of one of my wrapping up pieces of advice that I wrote down, was that it's very easy to feel so wronged in these situations. Like we both can point out things that each other has done that's like, well, fuck you too. Like I have this thing, you have, it's never about like keeping a score. It's really not. You have to be able to like erase these things and move forward, which I think we've always been pretty good about. We've never really brought up shit from the past, except for me when I like to make fun of you for, you know what. But taking a inventory of yourself too, like I had to know where I was contributing to the relationship not being successful, because I had spent like, you know, 5 out of the last 6 months feeling like it was Jared's fault. And it is, I guess like what I'm saying is it's okay to have like 6 months of a tough time, like what to do when you're going through a rough time. And like, it's cheesy, but we always say like love is a choice. And like today I choose it. And you know, some days I wake up and I'm like, I don't choose it. I fucking am not okay today. And like, we're not okay today. And like, that's okay too. Like, it's not going to be perfect all the time, as hard as we try to make it. But, you know, I've seen you grow so much and learn so much. And that's impressive to me, because I do think you're a really smart person. I do think you base a lot of, like, your life out of logic. And you recognize your flaws. Like, you're able to say, like, here's where I've changed. And, like, yeah, you know, I haven't done this or been that for you. And it's just like, it's just kind of like crazy to me to think, it makes me feel really good about like how much I've grown, that we went through that and that I'm still with you, you know, like that I got rid of every old habit Kelsey would have had and have like kind of stuck it out.
Yeah. And even like not even fully getting rid of, but at least noticing them and like being aware of them. Right. Mm. So like that was a big thing for me, was like, I know for myself that through this whole process, it gave me a really good mirror into my own. Like, again, it was really easy. Same thing that you were saying, easy for me to blame Kelsey for everything, of like, oh, like this and that. But it's like, no, like what about my attitude towards Kelsey is causing this issue? And like, let me like rethink what that thought, like, what is that initial thought that I'm having, and why is that there? Like, what is the resentment there? Like, what is this like certain? And then like to get to the root of that and then have open conversation about it allows for this kind of blossoming of like, oh, this was the issue. So like, let's like, we'll be careful with this next time. Or like, we at least can like, know that if we step on these areas again, it's going to get a little dicey. And like, we need to like be tread with caution versus just like go in there like a bull in a china shop kind of thing.
Yeah. And knowing, you know, how to say what you want to.
Yeah.
Like, I think I've always been really good at that. Like, you know, sometimes Jared would say things like, I feel like my needs don't matter. And that comes from like a very deep rooted place in your childhood and the way you were brought up. But him saying that to me, I would take it as an attack on me, like that I'm not listening to his needs, that I'm not recognizing them, that I bulldoze over his feelings and opinions and things, not taking a step back, A, to not take that so personally, and B, to be like, this is me and you versus that problem, right? Not you telling me that you have a problem and it's my fault.
Exactly.
So like, I think that was also a big one for me to get over, was being like, okay, if you don't feel like your needs are met, what are we both going to do about that?
Yes.
Rather than me feeling like this, like, well, if you're not even happy, like, why are you fucking with me? Why would you stay with me? You know, right. Like, it doesn't sound like you are happy. Like, be released, be free. And at one point I was telling my own, my personal therapist that I was like, I feel like I have to break up with him because he'll never break up with me. And that was also like a nervous thought that one person felt differently about the relationship, and making sure we were on the same page was like kind of crucial.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think like the idea of like the relationship as being a third, almost like a third entity in this whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's like me, Kelsey, and the relationship. And like, we are, if we think about ourselves, like working to make the relationship better and like we're on the same team, that's like a really good thing versus like this kind of adversarial
individual,
like me versus you. If I don't get my way, then like I'm not winning or like this or that, like that kind of like, you know.
And it's not fun to be fighting.
No.
It's not fun to be like, oh, I want to be right over the person that I love who I think is being a dumbass. Like, that's not like a good feeling. Like, I kept wanting to just be like, God, we don't feel like us. We didn't feel like us for a while.
Yeah.
And now, you know, like, we're still coming out of the clear and the rubble. Like, things aren't like, you know, well, things have been good. But, you know, we're still aware of our trouble spots. And I think that's like a really good thing to identify so that when we do, we can literally like sit down with our iPads and make a list of like, okay, here's how we're going to attack this. Okay. We're going to have like 5 minutes to write down all of our feelings and we can like just write whatever we want. The mean shit, the gross shit. We can read it to each other if we want. We can delete it if we want, but know that then we're going to take like a 15-minute break and we're going to come back and write like 5 reasons why, you know, we love each other or like are going to stay or like 5 reasons why we do stay. And like, none of that would have come to fruition, I think, without couples therapy, too.
Yeah, that's incredible. I want to stress, I can't stress enough how helpful a third party is in something like this. Because, like, for, like, you know, that feeling of, like, oh, like, if only someone else could just see this, like, clearly, like, they're going to see my perspective. And then it's like, oh, what? Well, hold on.
Do
you're
you hate
talking,
it when
what?
The therapist says, like, Kelsey's point is right? Like, she's...
No, it's great because it fucking, knocks my kind of my ego down and just, like, it's like, oh, okay.
That's crazy, like, that you like that because most people, like, when she does it to me, I'm like, oh, fuck.
No, the initial feeling isn't good, obviously, but I know when I look at it in a perspective of, like, this is going to make me better or like I'm growing, right? Cause I'm always a big fan of like personal growth. And so almost arguably too much. Uh-huh. If I look at it in that lens, it really kind of motivates me in a good way. Like I like that. It just like, it's hard for me to hear at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So I have to like really kind of like, depending on what it is, really set on, you know, talk about it. Like I asked you like, what are my blind spots like that you see?
Yeah,
like,
I wrote that down.
Yeah.
And that was hard to do, man. Talking about blind spots with each other because it's basically like, here's me telling you something really shitty about you.
Yeah. And like me not activating when I hear that, like, is really hard. Like when it's like, you're hearing somebody that you love tell you something that like, there's no way it could be true. No, no. But like, that's a person that you love telling you this. And like, they are a mirror to you. So it's
like, you reminded me that like our couples therapist always like gets us by, you know, we talk through a problem and she's like, and you did that because you love him. Right. And I'm like,
shit.
It always comes back to like, this comes from the place of love too. Like if I'm fighting and it's coming out as like angry or in like a nasty way, I'm delivering it incorrectly because it's out of a place of love. And maybe I'm like, oh, hey, hon, like, ooh, here's why I don't think that's a good idea or whatever. And then it like escalates to anger, but at least we can try with love and compassion and empathy first. And that's very hard when you're a very like reactive, control, emotional freak like me. But I love me. I really like
me. I love you too.
I think I'm a good person.
You are an amazing person.
But also, you know, if you're in a bad spot, just get a scare of pussy cancer and you'll bounce right back.
There you go. That's all you need.
I think, you know, that happening yesterday was totally unexpected. not worth the stress, but because, you know, giving the cards we've been dealt, what we did with it, I think was really positive. Like a gut check kind of thing. Again. Yeah. Like, God, is all this shit that important when every couple is probably going through something like this with COVID and being in small living spaces and yada, yada, yada. It's kind of like a good reminder.
Yeah. But like anyone, you can do that literally right now with your partner. Like imagine your partner has like a terminal illness for a second. Just like imagine it for a couple minutes and see what happens and like how that feels. Like it's really shitty when you dive in there. But then when you come out and you're like, oh, wow, you like appreciate the person a lot more. There's a lot more gratitude for what you have. So
what was like in your mind?
What did it look like in my mind? Or
yeah,
like,
because I think I only get like the outcome. Like when I got in the car, you were like, I love you. And, like, and I was like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Like what went through your mind?
I went like pretty deep dive of like what it would look like moving forward, like what I would have left of you, like how I would remember you, and like looking at like your Instagram stories as like a time capsule or something, but then just like staying in touch with your family and like reliving the memories of you, but like never knowing that we couldn't fully like live our lives together is like a really sad thing to me. Like I want to do life with you. It is like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So, it really kind of gave me a big wake up call, in terms of like what I'm really caring about and like what's important. And I think just having someone that knows you so well, like you're arguably like the only person next to like, you know, like my dad maybe, but like that, like
I don't even think he really,
he barely knows me comparatively. Like we have like a call every week and it's great. I really love my dad a lot, but like we don't connect in the same way as like an intimate partner would. So it's like you have my heart in your heart and your soul. So
your soul is my home forever. That's what it says in the book.
That's really sweet.
I love you. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Leave a comment below and let us know like what tips you have found in tough times with partnership. And if you're single and you've been listening to this the whole time, take fucking notes, okay? Because this shit will come back around, I promise you. Every couple has their roller coaster ride. And, you know, I think coming up on 3 years, that is a interesting spot, you know, with other couple of friends that we've talked to who are like, oh yeah, year three is fucking tough.
Yeah.
Like year three was crazy. And I think we've accelerated it because of everything that's going on in the world. But,
I really like what you said, earlier about like wanting to understand the other person first before like being understood. I think that to me, like that's like a really
philosopher's
way. That's a good one. Yeah. I like that a lot.
Can you tell people to buy my book?
Absolutely. Guys, what are you doing? What? It's incredible. Go get it. Don't fucking panic. It's on Amazon. It's on Thought Catalog. It's on all the things. It's right over there. Yeah, check it out.
It's also on our coffee table. We're doing giveaways of the book on Confidently Pod Instagram this week, I do believe. And we're doing a couple more giveaways of some really cool holiday goodies I got. But yeah, I know that some of you are kind of like, I don't want to pay for shipping. Well, you don't have to now because we're going to be giving away some.
Wow.
And be so excited because the merch is coming soon. So as always, don't forget to rate this 5 stars on iTunes. Oh, you know what I need to tell them to do?
What?
Rate the book on Amazon.
That's a good point.
Because we're having a couple printing errors and people are rating it 1 star because of the Kindle formatting that like is out of our control. And we're trying to work with Kindle and Amazon to fix that. But if you could please leave a review, it only takes a second and it's really going to change the way that like the book performs. And you know, I want to write another one, so please help me. Don't forget to follow at Capslab if you want. He makes dope mixes. I like him a lot and I like him, so follow him. And I love you, and confidence, I love you, and I love myself, and I love this cat, and I love this life, and I'll see you guys next week.
Bye.